You know, we sing, we generally on Sundays before the sermon, we sing that, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. And that's, we do that by design, very specifically, because we want to welcome the Holy Spirit into this place. As we were just singing it, I don't know why, but this is where my mind went, that line that says, come flood this place. And my mind went back when I was 15 years old. My brother was graduating from high school, and my parents took a trip to California. It was my first time at the beach, at the ocean. And we rented these, I mean, I'd never seen the ocean before. And we rented these ginormous surfboards. Nowadays, they got these sleek, you know, fiberglass. And, I mean, this baby was like, it was like a boat. And I remember we didn't have a clue what we were doing. Like, we were going surfing, man. And we got this surfboard and went out there. And it's like when the waves came in, if you weren't holding, I mean, if you weren't lining that surfboard up, if you had it sideways, Katie bar the door. I mean, it just knocked you back up onto the beach. And that's what I want from the Lord. I mean, I want the flood. Does anybody else want that? Just like, it was so overpowering, we couldn't even stand our ground. It was just, that's what I would like to see us receive from the Lord. Just flood this place, flood us, each and every Sunday. Is anybody out there today? Is this on? Y'all are kind of, is this cold weather got everybody just kind of in a lull here? Normally it takes at least 5 minutes into my sermon before half of you are asleep. So, I mean, come on. Wake her up. Thank you, sailor. Didn't you give me a woo last week or something? All right. If you are visiting with us this morning, I apologize for the preacher. But anyway, we're glad that you're here. There's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you, and would love for you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but would love to know that you were here visiting with us. And at the end of the service, I will be out in the foyer. Would love to meet you. You can bring the blue card and present that to me, or if you can leave that in your seat there, is that okay as well? If you want to be on our email list, put your email down there and check the little box that you'd like to be on our email list, and we'd love to get to know you better. If you will also keep the registration pads moving along, and turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Does anybody know what Acts chapter 2 is most well known for?
Pentecost.
The sending of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had promised this Holy Spirit was coming and that he was sending the Holy Spirit, and he told the disciples to wait and wait for this counselor, this Holy Spirit that would come. And it came in Acts chapter 2, that is recorded, but we're going to pick it up right after that. So the Holy Spirit came, and it's really interesting because when the Holy Spirit came on the disciples, they began to share the gospel. There was all sorts of people in Jerusalem, and they began to share the gospel in the native languages of the people that were there so that they could understand the gospel. And they were accused of being drunk. And I love Peter's response. He goes, we're not drunk. It's only 10 o'clock in the morning. Don't you love that? It's like, now if it was 3 in the afternoon, maybe we'd be drunk. I don't know. But no, he didn't say that. But I always thought that was humorous, that was his rationale. It's only 10 o'clock in the morning. We're not drunk. And so the gospel was shared, and Peter, it's recorded, the very first sermon is in Acts chapter 2. Now, we pick it up right after he has shared the message of the gospel in verse 41. Those who accepted his message, speaking of Peter, who had just preached the gospel to them, those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. That's a good day. 3,000 came into the kingdom that day. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. You see how there's a response. Do you see that? The Holy Spirit comes, and there's something happens. It wasn't just like, oh, this is cool, and everybody went back to their house No, they did something. They devoted themselves to these things. Everyone was, in verse 43, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Not, it doesn't say some of the believers were together, and some went their own way. Here we go. It didn't say, some of them said, well, I can be a Christian without being with other Christians. You ever heard that, Marv? No, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. And here was the response of the people, and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Woo! Somebody give me, aha! Man, that's good stuff. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We have invited you. We know that you are here. We know that you love us. We ask that you would pray. And we pray that you would speak to us in authority, in power. And don't leave us the way you find us, Lord. Make us more like you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So today I'm completing the sermon series on covenant, and every November I'm going to speak on covenant. It's not always going to be a series. Sometimes it'll be just one message, but I think it's important for us to understand that we are a covenantal people who serves a covenantal God. And today's message is being the church, being the church. And again, just a quick little recap. Covenant is different than a contract. Contract, it's like, hey, if you do this, I'll do that. It was kind of conditional. But covenant is a permanent commitment motivated for the benefit of the other person. It's not a self-centered thing. It's like, no, I really want that new car, so I'll go sign a contract and I'll be able to drive that new car. No, it is for the benefit of someone else. Covenant is. It's based on an enduring and steadfast love. Now I'm going to talk. This is what comes to my mind when I 2 weeks ago when I started a series, I spoke about marriage and how when we're married, we stand before God and we stand before a pastor and our family and our friends, and we make covenant with the bride and groom, make covenant with one another. There's the vows, that's what they are. They're promises, they're covenants. Now, I'm going to speak this morning, and I want to say ahead of time, I'm going to speak about the difference between living together and marriage. Now, please, if you have or are living together, I'm not heaping condemnation on you, okay? I'm not heaping condemnation on you. I just want us to understand that in our culture today, living together is becoming more and more prevalent. Now, I will say this. I have pastors that I know that won't marry somebody living together. And I'm kind of going, what's up with that? They're trying to shift into doing something better. That's like saying, oh, you used to be an alcoholic, so I'm not going to tell you that you shouldn't be an alcoholic, and I'm not going to help you stay away from the liquor store, you know. No, you know, but there is a difference between living together out of covenant and marriage, and the difference is covenant. When you're living together, there's nothing holding you there. You've made no promises to one another. God is not, you know, you've not asked God to be a part of this. Again, please, this is not about condemnation, okay? I'm trying to illustrate the difference that covenant makes. Living together, it's like, hey, you know, I can step out of this thing anytime I want to, and I haven't broken any vow. I haven't broken any covenant. I can step out anytime I would like to. Marriage, there's covenant, there's promises, there's vows that are made. I promise to love you even when times are hard, even when you're a knucklehead. That's what our vows when we said at our wedding, Cheryl said, I promise to love you even when you're a knucklehead. That's why she's still around 38 years later. But we make promises to one another. It's different. Living together is a whole different thing. So this whole idea of covenant, that God is a God of covenant, He has called us to be a people of covenant, not to just hang out with one another. Now, again, please, the enemy will try to get you to receive this as condemnation, so many of the things that I'm going to say today, and I want you to not receive it that way, because that's not how it's intended. But the same thing many times can happen with church, with fellowships and churches. We can come and we can go and we can zig and we can zag through different fellowships of churches. Kind of, it's like, well, I'll go over there for a few weeks, and I'll go over there, but I don't want to join those kinds of things. And I'm just telling you that's you. If you want to come and fellowship with us and worship with us and never join our church, come. It's okay. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But I'm encouraging you today that God has created us for covenant. Okay, I hope that you're hearing that. And Christ, it says, Christ is the mediator. Scripture tells us this. If you want to hear a lot about this, read Hebrews. Christ is the mediator of the new covenant. He there it is. You know, God made, he said, I make this, God with Abraham says, I make this covenant with you. I'll be your God. You'll be my people. I'm gonna have your descendants is gonna be like the stars in the sky. I'm gonna bless you. And that ultimately came through Jesus, and now he is the mediator of a new covenant. And a couple of weeks ago, we took the Lord's Supper. It's like that. Jesus said, "This bread, this is my body, and this cup is my blood." And it's established the new covenant, the sacrificial covenant. He is the mediator of a new covenant. This morning we had some wonderful people join our church, and if you noticed. I asked them the question, and this is kind of the Methodist question. Is first of all, you have to be a believer in Jesus Christ and have been baptized. You can't join this body until you're part of the body of Christ. So you have to be a professing member of Christ to join our church. And so once that has happened, the question as you come into fellowship with this church is, will you be loyal to this church? And I want you to hear the covenant in this question. Will you be loyal to this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness? And we're going to unpack that a little bit. So being the church, first of all, being the church involves our prayers. It just does. I mean, you know, if you look in verse 42 of the passage this is the first church. I mean, we can learn so much by these six or seven verses that I read today about the church. We can learn what does it mean to be the church? I mean, how did they respond when the Holy Spirit first came and they began to have fellowship with one another? How did they respond? What did they do? The first thing is, it says they devoted themselves to prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. It's like, and Teresa, I didn't actually work that out with Teresa that she was going to share on prayer this morning. I think the Lord just kind of knew that needed to happen. But we are stronger together, and we talked about this last week. We're stronger together than we are alone. I'm trying to look for the biggest and the toughest dude in here. It's got to be Kevin Johnson. You're probably the biggest, strongest, toughest man in the whole sanctuary. What do you bench press? About 400 or 500 pounds, Kevin?
About 80.
80? On a good day, 80? Okay. Well, all right. Well, we're going to give you credit for, let's say you could do 200 pounds. Now, let's say if we're really, and we got roughly, you know, 200, our average attendance is about 250 people. So if we said 100 pounds, somebody do the math, 250 times 100, what is that? 2,500, right? 25,000, right? 25, okay, I failed math. Okay, so if each one of us weighed 100 pounds, now on the count of three, I want you to stand up if you're able. You ready? 1, 2, 3, stand up. If each one of us weighed 100 pounds, we just lifted 100 pounds. All right, you can sit back down. Now, you just outdid Kevin because he can only lift 80. But together, if we add all of it up, how much did we just lift? 25,000 pounds. We're stronger together. Prayer matters. They devoted themselves to prayer. Now, I spoke about it earlier that we have each Sunday. We believe in prayer at this church. We believe that it changes things. We had someone in the prayer room every Sunday that's praying that God and His Holy Spirit would show up and do things. We have the email list that where we're praying for all kinds of needs. I was actually in Gary Shahan. Where are you at, Gary? Wave your arm. Where are you at? You're just hiding in the back. I told him he's going to be the star today. I was actually signing, Gary's an attorney, I was signing some papers in his office this week, and lo and behold, I stumbled upon the Pray for Rain sign. You remember the Pray for Rain sign? There they are. Gary and Chuck Irwin, his partner, and they had a Pray for Rain sign that we did about 3 years ago or so, and it came through our church, but it came out of a group I'm with called One Kingdom, where it's pastors and civic leaders in our city. But we were in a drought. Y'all remember? Yeah. We were in a drought. And I mean, it was serious stuff. And so we developed those signs, and tried to get them out in people's yards and throughout. And they began to say, let's pray not just for rain, let's pray for 40 inches of rain. It has not rained 40 inches in Abilene, Texas since the 50s. And me being the spiritual giant that I am, in my mind I'm thinking, 40 inches. That's a lot. How about 30 or maybe 35? I mean, I'm thinking this. But no, they said, no, let's pray for 40 inches. Guess what we got that year? We exceeded 40 inches. And the next year, guess what we got? We exceeded 40 inches. We're on pace. It's going to be close this year. We're on pace, and I think we're around 32 or something this year. So we got a month or so to try to get that last little bit. Prayer matters. When I saw that sign in their office, since the signs went out, every time it gets a rain, they put the date and they say, like, half inch. Thursday, you know, October the 14th, half an inch. And they've been recording that ever since then. That really struck me. And then last week we showed prayer matters. We showed little Ella. Go ahead. This was Ella about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I'm telling you guys, it was touch and go. It was touch and go for little Ella. She's soon will be the adopted daughter of the Acevedos. And I went in to pray with her, and she had this little tube down her throat. And I'm telling you what, that was hard to even see her like that. Precious little thing. And about 3 days later, go ahead, Lee. That was Ella. And I'm telling you, people from all sorts of people were praying for Ella. And I know we have doctors, we have great doctors, and we have great medicine and all those kinds of things, but we also have a great God, and He is the author and perfecter of healing. Prayer matters. If we're going to be a church, prayer matters. Secondly, being the church involves our presence. Our presence. In the passage today, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Well, they didn't have Wi-Fi. They didn't get it. They didn't link up. They had to be there. The apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple court. They cherished being together, being in the presence. I was visiting with someone before church this morning, and we had a young man and his family that a few years ago, I won't get into all the details, but basically, Daddy accepted Christ and things, and they began to come to church, and they began to, things were rapidly changing for the good in their family. I mean, all sorts of things were happening in their family, good. And over the last couple of years, they have stopped coming. And me and others, we've reached out. It's like, hey, man, we miss you. And, you know, it's like so forth, so on and so forth. And life is beginning to overtake them again. I just found out. I mean, I knew that, but I just found out more details this morning. Life is beginning to take them over. And it's like, man, we just need each other. We need to be in fellowship with one another. Maybe you don't. I do. I do. I need you. I need you in my life. We have so presence. Being a church involves presence, worship, worshiping together. If you're not in a Sunday school class, if you're a Sunday school teacher, real quickly, just embarrass you for a second. Just stand up if you're a Sunday school teacher. We've got awesome Sunday school teachers. We got awesome Sunday school teachers. These men and women are, thank you, you can sit down. We have great Sunday school teachers, and it's like, man, I just, when somebody gets sick, if you're not connected, you can slip through the cracks. Nobody, I promise you, me or the staff or nobody in the church wants you to slip through the cracks. We want to know when things are going on in your life, when you're struggling with health or finances or whatever. We want to know, and we want to pray, and we want to be the church. So being together, Sunday school, community groups, if you're not in a community group or a Sunday school, man, just connect. It's easy to slide into church and slide out and never know anybody. That's not the heart of God for us. Third thing, being the church involves our gifts. Our gifts. What's the one topic that your pastor hates to preach on? Money. What's the one thing your pastor should preach more on?
Money.
You know, I don't like preaching on it, but Jesus talked about money all the time. He talked about it all the time. Why? Because our possessions are connected here. You know, they're connected. Our stuff, we got our stuff, and it's like there's this tether to our heart. And listen to in verse 45 of our passage today, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. I mean, that's radical stuff. It's like, oh, you got a need? Let me sell this piece of land. And here, you don't have that need. In chapter 4 of Acts, still speaking of the first church, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own. That's radical stuff, isn't it? None of them claimed that any of their stuff, any of their possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. And listen to this. There were no needy persons among them. Not one. That's radical stuff. I'm not sure your pastor's ready for that, quite frankly. That's radical stuff. For from time to time, those who owned houses and land sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Now, the first thing that jumps out at me at that is they trusted the apostles. And unfortunately, in our day and age, churches and pastors have not been worthy in some occasions of that trust. And so I confess that. I try to be worthy of it. Well, I tell people that our finances, first of all, we have a committee that reviews finances, and we're audited once, not a full audit, but a review of our books every year. But I tell people, except for personal givings, anybody that walks into the office and says, hey, I want to see your finances, we'll print her out. What do you want to see? As long as it's not personal givings, that's private. Well, anything else, we'll print it out. All the believers shared everything they had. There were no needy persons. I got to tell you, I know that some of us need to grow in that area. Some of us don't understand yet that financial faithfulness is tied to our maturity in Christ. We don't get that yet, but many of you do. Many, many, many of you do. I put out a challenge. I went back and looked. It was January the 28th of this year, almost coming up on a year ago. I was preaching on surrendering to whatever the Lord told you to do, and I was at home studying and praying through that, and the Lord said, how about you, Jeff? Do you trust me? And I just felt that in my heart, and like, well, yeah, Lord, I trust you. I want you to, and we've kind of have come alongside Bethel United Methodist, a little smaller Hispanic church in town, and I want you to tell your people, invite your people to go to church there next week instead of Wiley Methodist. Like, what? You're breaking up, Lord. What was it? What? And then I heard him in my heart. I heard him say, "And I want you to tell him to tithe over there." And boy, then I really had to dial it in. And I remember, and I said, "Hey, if you are gonna, I want to let the pastor over there know that you're coming, so that they can have childcare and they can have bulletins for you, because they usually had about 30 people on a Sunday. And I thought, well, I want to let her know if there's going to be more than that. So email me and let me know if you're going to Bethel next week. And my email blew up. And I mean, and it was just, I promise, it was just for a fleeting second, because I'm much more holy than this, but just for a fleeting second, I was thinking, Lord, what have I done? Because, I mean, the emails were just flooding. But God is good. You know, we had a good attendance that morning over here, and they I forget the exact count, but they normally had about 30, and they had about 150 over there that Sunday. Now, I kid you not, their weekly givings averaged about $100 a week. And you tried doing anything with that. And they brought in like $9,600. I've got $9,639 that week. And so you're thinking, well, we're going to be $9,000 short. We exceeded our givings in this church that morning by about $6,000. Exceeded it. I'll tell you, man, when we are faithful, God is, he's faithful with our finances. I challenge you to step out and say, God, I don't have anything, but I trust you, and I'm gonna be faithful. Prayers, presents, gifts. The fourth thing, being the church involves our service. Being our the church involves service. Now, verse 43, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. You know, I've came across this a few weeks ago, that I have been real bad about using when we need something, you know, like, hey, Fall Festival, we need volunteers for the Fall Festival. And somebody pointed out to me, not in the church, but a class I was taking, they said, you know, in the Bible, it doesn't mention volunteers. It talks a lot about servants, but doesn't mention volunteers. You know, we're not called to volunteer because that's somehow optional. But no, it calls for us to be servants. Servanthood, when we're in Christ, that's not optional. Servanthood, now we can't do everything. We can't be at every event and do everything. But if we have a servant's heart, I promise, if all of us have servant's hearts, it's going to all work out. It's all going to work out. Just examples of things that y'all already do, our food pantry and our Fall Festival. It was so awesome to see all the people working at the Fall Festival, as well as the kids, our Sunday school teachers, which I just pointed out, our community group leaders, committee members, our Vacation Bible School. I love that week that we have Vacation Bible School, and I love seeing we had 250 or so kids last year, but I also love seeing all the adults, you know, just in here dancing and doing, you know, I would show you, but you know, I might hurt myself. But just the volunteers for Vacation Bible School, it takes 100 plus, 150 or so volunteers just to make that week work. Our Houses for Healing, so many of you have either donated money or you've prayed over that, or you're going to serve once the house is completed, or you've built. All sorts of things have gone into that. And Billy, we're hoping in a couple of weeks or so, we're hoping that house will be completed and we'll have an open house and we'll have a celebration of that completed house. And then finally, being the church involves our witness. Involves our witness. You know, now, just know that not all of us are called to go knock on doors and, hey, do you know about Jesus? Or, you know, to do that, or to walk through the aisles at Walmart and just ask people that. And some people are. Some people are gifted in that area, and that's their thing. But here's what God is calling us to do, is tell what he's done for us. Tell what he's done for you. And that may be relational through somebody at work or through a family member. It's like, man, you know, let me just tell you how Jesus has changed my life. That's witness. That's sharing the good news of Jesus. It's not formalized. It's not like you're reading a, you know, Roman Road to somebody or whatever. No, just it's like, man, Jesus has changed my life. Tell your story. All right, I'm gonna invite you, if you would, to look in your bulletin, if you got a bulletin. There is a sheet that's got our logo. There's a white sheet with a logo, the Wiley Methodist logo on top. Tom, Would you grab it? If you don't have a bulletin, if you don't have this insert, would you raise your hand? Tom and friends can get you one. Everybody got one? Couple of people don't. Tom, would you try to get some of those bulletins to people that don't? Okay, so November the 27th, 1904. I was not alive then. Pretty sure none of us were. Wiley Methodist Church is 114 years old this month. Now, we started, this church started out, this was out in the country. There's a little one-room schoolhouse shared with Wiley School District and Wiley Methodist Church down at Buffalo Gap and Antley, that area. And November the 27th, 1904, 29 people walked the aisle and said, I want to be a founding member of Wiley Methodist Church. And I want to support this church with my prayers, presence, gifts, and service. Witness was added to that question in 2008. But you know, again, if you want to come and be just worship with us and never place your membership here, please know that's okay. That's okay. But I just encourage you to prayerfully consider that. Now, I'll just run down through here. The on the left, as a member of Wiley Methodist Church, it's all right there. Pray for my church. Be present. Support my church with spiritual and financial gifts. Find an area of ministry where I can serve and share. There it is, witness. Share the good news of Jesus Christ. So there's the question. Prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. And then on the right, you know, we promise things too. We promise to provide opportunities for you to grow and to live out your faith in Christ, to provide opportunities for you to develop deep and lasting friendships and community with God's people. I don't know what Cheryl and I would do without you guys. I really don't. So many times, you guys have been so important to us. Provide opportunities for you to deepen your understanding of the Bible and the Christian faith. I always find it interesting. I often get thanked for preaching from the Bible. I'm kind of going, what else would I preach on? I don't really get that. But obviously, not everyone preaches on God's Word. Be good stewards of your financial gifts to this church and God's kingdom. Provide physical, emotional, and spiritual care with great love and compassion. So those are the things that we want to provide to you. Now, if you may have been a member here for 30, 40, 50 years, 10 years, whatever. I'm asking you this morning, this is not official, this is just symbolic. I'm asking you this morning, if you're a member of the church, are you still in? That's the question. Are you still in? You still making covenant with us? Is that still existent today? If that's you, just sign your name to the member. If we have all that information, you don't have to give us phone and email there if you're a member. I've already had a couple this morning that have come to me before church or during church and said, hey, I want to join, not even really knowing I was going to do this. I'm ready to join. If that's you, if the Lord is convicting you to make your membership here official, then write your name. Make sure I can read it. Sometimes some people's, you know, look like a doctor's signature. Make sure I can read who it is. And then check the box. I would like to visit with Pastor Jeff about becoming a member of this church family. And then write your phone and email there, and I will be getting back with you. In just a moment, I'll go ahead. Trevor, if you guys come on up. This praise team, y'all come on up if you would. And as we sing this last song, I invite you to come and just lay those sheets on the altar. And again, please receive this with grace. If you're not ready to make that decision, that commitment, it's okay. There's no pressure for you to come forward. You have my blessing to stay right there where you are. It's okay. But if you either are renewing that covenant with us or wish to make that covenant with us, I invite you to come and put those cards on the altar or on the altar table as we close. If you'll stand.